Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. Now we'll talk to former Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio. Joe, what's up? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? We got a good one ahead of us. I hope Chiefs fans are excited about this game.
We sure do. It's going to be it's the game I've been looking forward to more than any other game in the regular season. But the Chiefs did make an interesting addition. It came out yesterday. It looks like it's going to be finalized today. They're going to sign veteran defensive tackle Brandon Williams to the practice squad. 33 years old, played with the Ravens from 13 until 21. Was known for his as a run defender. Made the Pro Bowl in 2018, and he is reunited with Chiefs defensive line coach Joe Cullen, who was his position coach for 5 years from 2016 to 2020. What do you think about this addition to the defensive line?
Well, number one, I would not want to block that guy one-on-one. I know that much. I would need every bit of help I could get from a guard or a tackle or a center if I were playing one of those positions, because he is a beast. And I think, defensive tackle is probably the position. Not taking anything away from defensive linemen, but and I think they would admit this. Defensive tackle is probably the position where you can jump in there right away, right? You got a couple of alignments, you got a couple of stunts that you're going to run, some terminology to pick up. I think he could be ready to go pretty darn quickly. And as I've said before, defensive line is a rotation position, and you need depth and you need rotation, right? I mean, it's almost like in some defensive fronts, you don't even have starters, right? Because there's so much rotation that goes on. And the more guys that they can have, given Chris Jones a spell so that he can play the best 50 plays that he can play rather than the whole 70, the better off this team is going to be. So I think it's a great pickup. And I think it's just what this defense might need heading down the stretch. So I'm really excited. And you brought up a great point about circling this game on the calendar. Players, I lived under the Marty Schottenheimer era where your most important game was your next game. And we all believe that, right? And I think Andy Reid, same philosophy. But, you've got to admit, you have to admit, I don't care what anybody says, there's a lot of players had this game circled on the calendar based on the last two outings and what happened in the AFC Championship game. So I know there's going to be some emotion heading into this one for sure.
Nate Bucati.
And so Chris Jones being one of those guys, Joe, who, he spoke many times since that game last year about how he still remembers having Joe Burrow in the grasp a couple of times but not being able to get him to the ground, and how that motivated him all offseason. And boy, he's turning in a year, isn't he? And he just seems to be getting better and better. How much better is Chris Jones, the one that's going to be taking the field this Sunday, than maybe the one that played in that championship game? And I guess, can you just take us through the mind of what maybe he's been, how much he can use motivation like he did from that game against the Bengals, not only to have a great year this year, but for this specific game on Sunday?
Yeah, what I'm so impressed with Chris this year is his discipline. When you look at it statistically, right, if you were to look at the numbers, 10 sacks, fantastic, right? That's almost a little tiny less than a sack a game, which is fantastic, right? A couple forced fumbles. But, he's not having like a year that if you just looked at on paper, you might not rank him as high. As a teammate, he's first team all pro. Because he is doing all the things on the field that they need him to do from a disciplined pass rush perspective, right? He's not taking lanes he shouldn't be taking. He's not taking gaps he shouldn't be taking to try to make the big play. he has become one of the ultimate team players, not just on the team, but in the NFL. And that's what I'm most impressed about his maturation this year, is what he's been able to do and how he's making his other teammates shine. Going back to old school, I'm going to talk about guys like Reggie White, right? As good as he was statistically, Reggie was probably in that same category where he was one of the ultimate team players because he was willing to take on two and three guys at a time so that, you know, guys like Clyde Simmons, who was his other counterpart on the other side of the defensive line, could make plays, and so that linebackers can make plays. And you watch what this team is doing and what Coach Spags is doing, and Chris Jones is at the forefront of the leadership mindset that is making him the ultimate team player on this defense. That's what I'm most impressed about, and that's what I think separates the good ones statistically from the great ones who provide, you know, a defense that has been on the rise for the last, you know, X amount of games and years. I think he's at the forefront of it, and that's what I'm most impressed with.
Joe Valerio is our guest. Joe Tooney was out against the Rams, and so Nick Allegretti stepped in, and he was facing a defensive line featuring Aaron Donald. And so Nick Allegretti, I thought, played very well. And that is that's a luxury to have a guy that can play multiple positions, that can step in. And, I mean, he's good enough to be a starter for at least 20 teams in the NFL. And to see him step in and play at that level, that's very reassuring that, you know, that you have that kind of guy with that versatility that can step in and play at such a high level. What did you think of his performance?
I thought Nick was fantastic. He's, you know, he's got a lot of vowels in his name. He's wearing number 73. He caught a touchdown last year.
That's,
it's like,
right.
Nick and I are like, you know, we actually met up after the Titans game, and we got to hang out a little bit, and I got to meet a lot of his family, which was a real treat. I mean, they are just super people. He is a super kid. I can call him a kid now that I'm in my mid-50s, but you know, he's just a super kid. I was really, really pleased with his performance. I think he is, again, the embodiment of the team spirit, because you're absolutely right. He could be starting on at least 20 teams, and he's been a starter here, right? He's had you know, starting DNA there in his system, and I think he's really solid. We are lucky to have him. And, you know, that was Brett Beach's thing, you know, a couple years ago when they had the debacle in the Super Bowl. You know, the Chiefs basically said, you know what, we're not going to let that happen again. We're going to make sure that we have starters who are backups, right, and players who, when they go in, aren't going to miss a beat. And when Joe Tooney goes down, you know, that's a big piece of the puzzle to fill in for. It's big shoes to fill. And I thought Nick did a fantastic job. He was communicating well, and I think a lot of that comes from the fact that he plays all the positions, right? So he knows how to communicate with a center because he plays center. He knows how to communicate with the tackle because he plays both guards, right? So, and I'm assuming that Andy Heck and you know, and Eric Bieniemy are doing a great job of practice of rotating those guys in and getting them reps with the starters when these situations happen. And that's important, right? It's not just on the player to come in and perform. It's on coaches to have their backups prepared to work with, you know, different players. I would hope that Nick is taking snaps with, you know, Patrick Mahomes occasionally in case, if Creed went down. So, yes, it's a team effort for sure, and he's a team player, and I thought he did fantastic.
Well,
Nate Buchanan.
Joe, as a Polish American, I'd like to buy some vowels from you guys, you Italians. We don't have enough in our names. one of the things that I think is fascinating about this matchup against the Bengals is we to go back to the defensive side, right? You said everybody's got this game circled. The Chiefs clearly wanted to have a better pass rush to be able to take on Joe Burrow. We talked about that a little bit, but they also went out and acquired big physical corners in the draft, and they placed so much faith in them. They let go of Rashad Fenton in the middle of the season because, and it seems rightfully so, they believe in this rookie class so much that they're ready to go toe-to-toe. This is going to be a different kind of challenge against these big wide receivers of the Cincinnati Bengals. What's fair to expect from these young corners in a game like this?
Well, you know, obviously Joe Burrow's going to try to attack with the size, right? And I think one thing that's going to help our defense is, you know, week in and week out, going against some receivers that are a little bit bigger, right? I think, you know, with MVS coming on board, you know, I think that was a really big pickup, you know, not just, not just for our offense, but, you know, whenever you're going against guys week in and week out, you know, imagine what our corners were seeing week in and week out last year, right? They were seeing Tyreek, they were seeing McColl, right? They weren't seeing a type of receiver like an MBS who fits into that mold. And that's what, you know, the Chiefs obviously did, is they diversified that, you know, that receiving core. So I think, you know, what the Chiefs have done this year with the receiving core is going to have given our guys a better look. And I know Joe Burrow is going to be getting after, you know, he's going to be trying to get after him with his big receivers, but, you know, we're going to rely on the pass rush to get after him, be disciplined, not give him an opportunity to step up. You know, don't maybe not go for the big sack all the time. Mush rush him a little bit, right? I mean, that's what I think our defensive line needs to do. They need to take a disciplined rush approach and not give him those slivers of pockets within the pocket to step up in and find those big receivers. So I think as much of the onus is on the defensive line to provide our defensive backs a lot more time to recover, and to give Joe Burrow less time to find those guys, but in a way that's getting in his face a little bit, right? And that's why I call it a mush rush, right? It's like a disciplined, you know, rush approach. Don't let him sneak up and recapture the line of scrimmage.
Who do you think is? I mean, who would you pick right now if you were starting your team, and you could go with any quarterback? You can't pick Mahomes, but would you pick Josh Allen or Joe Burrow?
Of those two, I think I'd still have to go with Josh. I think he's just got a little bit more. I don't know if maturity is the right way to phrase it, but I think he has a little bit more tools in his toolbox. I think Joe plays with a lot of confidence, and he plays on that, right? He's reminds me of, you know, a little bit of like a young Brett Favre at the beginning of his career. You know, not somebody who had, you know, all the tools in the world, but, you know, was able to use them with confidence and take some chances here and there. That's where I kind of see a Joe Burrow versus a Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is just more statuesque. He's got a little bit, I think, a little bit better field vision as a drop-back quarterback than Joe does. So I would go with Josh over Joe, but he plays with a lot of confidence. I mean, and that's what I think what the Bengals are playing on, right, is that he's going to go out there and he's going to imagine himself winning, even though he has, you know, limited tools when you think about the statuesque quarterbacks of old, you know, the Dan Marinos, the John Elways, you know, the guys like that, right? The Joe Montanas, you guys who were just going to sit back in the pocket and pick you apart. Jim Kelly, he's definitely not in that school, but I would put him more in the scrappy school. So I still think I'd go with a Josh Allen. Long answer to a short question.
Nate,
so yeah, I mean, it's, I'm going Joe Burrow, but it's really, really narrow. And the weird thing for me is, I just think from a longevity standpoint, I don't know, it's tough. Burrow stands in there and takes some big hits too. Both Allen and Burrow take more hits than I would be comfortable with if I were cheering for their teams long term. I love the fact that Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he gets hit. He's not afraid to take a hit, but I feel like he's a little bit smarter about, you know, saving his body for another day, and I hope that continues.
Yeah. No, listen, he's a big dude. You know, he's finding his way. He's a good leader, I think, through his confidence. So yeah, he's going to be around for a long time, and he's definitely going to, if he stays healthy, he's going to work his way into sort of the elite, you know, the elite five quarterbacks in the league. If he obviously stays healthy, because that is a challenge, right? Is when you get those quarterbacks who just, you know, they're just, he's willing to stick his nose in there, which I think his team likes. You know, I think the blue collar Bengals like his mentality, and that's why I think they like the confidence that he plays with. And I think he's gonna be there for a long time. My biggest concern with this game is that the Chiefs continue to run the ball a little bit, flipping back to our offense. I've been thinking about this a lot and what the Bengals did in the second half of that AFC Championship game. And my God, it was, I don't even know if there's a term for that defense, you know, where you're dropping eight guys in coverage, right? You can go nickel, dime. Do you call it quarter? I don't know. Whatever. What's the next denomination of money, right? Like, it was crazy that they were rushing three, dropping eight, and, you know, because I guess they felt like we didn't have a real threat in the running game at that point, that late in the game. And, you know, and I'm really hoping that we can commit to the run a little bit. The way that Isaiah's running, the way that the offensive line is playing, maybe we can pull 7-8 up in the box and give Patrick and Eric Bieniemy a little bit more of a playbook to work from, so that they can, you know, they can attack, you know, with this new scheme that they have with this diverse receiving core, right? That's built on strength, speed, possession. It's not all just quick plays, but more of a methodical passing game, and that's what they're going to need. So I think they're going to need to establish the run game, and that's what I'm going to be watching for right out of the gate. What are Eric and Andy going to be doing in the run game to sort of challenge the Bengals a little bit to say, we're not just going to rush three again.
So I'm really glad that you went there. Maybe it's cryptocurrency. You know, maybe now they're going crypto. They're going crypto. I got two guys in the box. But the reason I'm glad you brought it up is because I was really impressed with the Bengals' ability to slow down Derrick Henry last weekend. 17 carries for 38 yards in that game. And look, it's obvious the approach is different when you're playing the Titans, right? That's the number one priority. You got to stop Derrick Henry. But a lot of teams try to stop Derrick Henry and still can't do it. I was very impressed with their ability to bow up and slow him. And they were laying some licks on him and getting into the backfield. Is it just going to be a completely different approach from the Bengals so that we can just discard that game? Or is there anything you take from that concerns you about the Chiefs' ability to run the ball in this game?
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got some studs in interior, right? DJ Reader, BJ Hill, they're big dudes, you know, they're run stoppers, who can pass rush when they need to. They're very tall and long, so they can get off of blocks, you know, with their long arms. They're not, you know, the typical prototypical, you know, 1990s, early 2000s defensive tackles that were like bowling balls, right? I mean, these guys are both, you know, well over 6 feet, 6'3", 6'2", you know, I think DJ Reader's his program weight's like 335. I think he's a biscuit away from 350. But like they're big, and I think they're gonna put that up there to begin with. But if, you know, what I'm looking forward to though is the matchup, the chess game that happens. So when they put eight up in the box, seven up in the box, and they think, all right, well, we've seen what Isaiah's been doing, we've seen what the Chiefs have been doing in the run game. If Patrick can get on them early, and he can find some open receivers and get a methodical drive, you know, a couple dink and dunks down the field, a 10-yard, 20-yard, 30-yard pass, you know, to his receivers, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, boy, you know, we better pull back. And then when they pull back, they jam Isaiah down their throat. Like, I'm kind of excited about this chess game that's going to go on with how the Bengals are playing, because if they're going to get overconfident and stop in the run, we know what Patrick's going to do in the pass game and vice versa. You know, if that happens, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, they start running the ball and they start bringing eight up again, and Patrick's going to do it again. So that's the back and forth that I'm really looking forward to in this game, and sort of like my matchup of the week is more what Eric Bieniemy and Andy are going to do against that defense, as opposed to like individual matchups.
All right, Joe, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us, and we will next week. We will finally get to a little bit more of Tulsa King, because I'm enjoying this very much, and so just have that in mind. See if you can get caught up with that, and we'll discuss what you think of Stallone's role in this TV show.
I'm all ready. I'll be ready for that.
And
go Chiefs, and have a great rest of the week. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. And let's bring this one home. This is probably going to be the toughest game on their schedule going forward.
This is going to be a great game. Thanks, Joe. That's Joe Valerio, former Chiefs offensive lineman. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Really excited to have our next guest on the show. A rising star in the WNBA, was a superstar at Mizzou, doing some great things for youth basketball in the state of Missouri, and did a great job as the guest at Tiger Club, answering, I think, 150 questions in 45 minutes yesterday. Sophie Cunningham joins us. Sophie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, you guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us, and we really appreciate your time. And we're going to talk about the big event that you got coming up this weekend. But I got to thank you. You were so cool to my daughters yesterday, and I mean, you have no idea how much that meant to them. At first, you know, they listened to you talk, and you gave them some advice, and then you signed some pictures for them, and then we go out to the car. And then we're gonna get our shoes signed by Sophie. You think she'll sign our shoes? I go, yep, she'll probably sign your shoes. So now you got Sophie Cunningham signature shoes that are gonna be worn in the parochial league in Kansas City this year. But that was just so cool, and I'm sure that you get that opportunity quite a bit to have an influence on young basketball players who want to follow in your footsteps. So thank you. That was you made their day. That was awesome.
Oh, well, it's my honor and my pleasure. You know, it's nice to see professional athletes that are from where you're from, that may look like you, that may do the things you used to do when you're little, and now they're pros. So that's my biggest blessing about this platform, is being able to give back to little girls like yours. So it's my pleasure.
Well, that was awesome. And so now let's talk about this event you got coming up this weekend. And it's the Sophie Cunningham Classic, and I know your sister Lindsay is involved, and the great Norm Stewart is involved as well. So tell us all about what's it, because it's not just basketball. You described it yesterday. I think it's really cool. Tell me about the idea, how you came up with it, and what's going to happen this weekend.
Yeah, so it's December 2nd through the 4th, so Friday through Sunday. And Coach Norm Stewart, you know, I think everyone knows he holds the Norm Stewart Classic, and he called me up and asked me to continue along his legacy, which I was super honored because I'm like, if you really get to know me, Coach, you're going to realize I'm a big old dork. Like, I'm not who you think I am. But, no, you know, he just wanted to start something to empower young girls and empower women in general. And so we started an all-girls tournament, and anyone who is ranked as a player – either in Missouri or the surrounding states are going to be at this tournament. And so our goal for this tournament is, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to get recruited in the Midwest. You have to travel all over the country. I know I went to, you know, Florida, Georgia, Colorado, Phoenix, Cincinnati, like everywhere. And so we were just thinking that we have such an elite level group of girls right here in Missouri. Why not hold a tournament in Columbia that is right in their backyard? You know, to allow college coaches and hopefully one day nationally ranked teams to come to Columbia, Missouri. And so the basketball is going to be outstanding. I have no doubt about that. But along with these tournaments that we go to, there's nothing really just for the girls. You always kind of get the leftover baggy shirts or baggy shorts or whatever the guys didn't want. That's kind of what us girls are kind of left with. And so my sister and I kind of put our heads together. And we wanted to create a really cool environment for these girls to not only be really great basketball players, but be like, set them up for success after the ball stops dropping. Like, let them be females in this world. And so we're going to have a station for them to get their hair braided, to get their nails done, to get massages. There's going to be face cleaning and makeup. We're going to have a financial advisor there. So there's just going to be, like, really cool things for them to do outside of basketball so they can kind of create relationships with one another instead of always competing against each other. And so we're super stoked about it. I know all these teams are, too, and it's our first year, so I know we're probably going to learn a lot, but our vision is pretty big for this thing.
Well, I wish somebody would set up some type of event where they had a financial advisor for radio hosts. I could have used that.
Yeah. So good. Hey, you're welcome.
We could all use it.
You're welcome to come.
Nate Bucati, my co-host, is also a girl dad, so I know he's very interested in this. Nate, you're on with Sophie Cunningham.
Sophie, I think about representation all the time. I coach my daughter's soccer team, and we're lucky enough to have a pro soccer team here in town now where our young girls have a chance to watch pros that they can dream of being like when they grow up. And it actually made me think of something, because Stephen was telling me earlier, that, you know, and I want to get into your relationship with Brittany Griner. We all, everybody in the country knows what she's going through right now. But similar to women's soccer, Stephen was telling me, you're pointing out that a lot of WNBA players, women's professional basketball players, play in the offseason in leagues in other parts of the world because of the pay. And a lot of women I know that play professional soccer have done the same thing. Instead of using that time to rest and recover their bodies, for example, they keep playing. And that brings me up. There was just a story that by the United States men's national team qualifying for the knockout rounds of the World Cup, they're going to get like an extra $8.5 million, which is as much as the U.S. women's national team got for winning the whole World Cup on the women's side. And because of the fight for equal pay that the women have gone through, they're going to get half that money that the United States men's national team, you know, gets as prize money. And I'm curious for you, like, how far does women's basketball need to go to get to the point where you guys can, you know, focus on playing in one league and do your job that way? And where do you think things stand right now on the women's side when it comes to professional basketball?
Yeah, you know, it's a great topic. It's a heavy topic. You know, everyone has their own opinions. But when you're someone who's actually in the WNBA, you know, it's the most elite level league in the entire world. Like, if you are a great player, you are in this league, and there's only 144 spots. And it's crazy because everyone knows that if you have that WNBA title, that you're one of the greatest in the world, yet we get paid the worst here. And so you could go, you know, it used to be Russia. No one's going over there anymore. It's Turkey, Israel, all these countries in Europe that, you know, will offer really, really, like, big money. And so we all get paid overseas. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, what did you do for your off season? And it's like, well, not last year, but the year before that, we made it all the way to the finals. We were one game away from winning a ring out in Phoenix. And we had 2 or 3 days to pack up all of our stuff from our apartments from Phoenix. And I had to come back to Missouri to drop all my stuff off. And within, I think, 2 days, I had to be over in France. And so we don't get an off season. I don't think a lot of people understand that. And we're not trying to take away from the men. I think the men do a wonderful job. They definitely deserve it. But us as women, we deserve that too. We deserve respect because we're at the most elite level as well. And so I think our fight is not against we want to get paid what the men want or get paid, but we want our revenue percentages to change. Like, we want 50% of that money too. And so if the women on the basketball side would get $8.5 million, you know, our owners in the league would see all that. We wouldn't see a dime of that. And so that's our fight. We want our percentages and revenue to go up just a little bit. I was telling everyone yesterday, you know, if you go buy LeBron's jersey, say it's $100, he gets $50 and the league gets $50. If you go buy any one of our jerseys in the WNBA, the league gets 100% of that money and we see nothing. And so our CBA is trying to push. It's trying to become better for us. But unfortunately, I think the time that I have in this league, which I hope is about 10 more years, I don't know if we'll get there. But we're trying to set it up for the next generations to come so that they're more successful. But the fight is large. It's nice that people are starting to get more educated about it. And, you know, the more that you go to these female sports, these pro sporting games, people come back to them. People love it, and it's just getting them there, and then they always want to come back. And so we appreciate people like you who are girl dads who, you know, understand that we are great athletes as well, and it's awesome that you bring your kids to these games to, you know, kind of give them that inspiration to be like us one day as well.
Yeah, I had two demands for to go online immediately and order Sophie Cunningham jersey. But now, you know, if they're going to get all the money, I think I'm still going to get the jerseys, though. They won them for Christmas. So, you know, I wish that you'd get some of the revenue, but you'll have two billboards for Sophie Cunningham walking around the Northland here in Kansas City. So,
hey, I love it. I love it. Shout out to those girls. I love it.
Now, you See, and you told the story yesterday about, so like, say for instance, in Turkey, you can make a lot of money, but then you got to go into this thing knowing that they're not going to, they're going to try not to pay you at the end, and you have to have a lawyer ready, right? So what is that all about, playing in Turkey?
Yeah, you know, it's insane, and it's kind of funny, but once you're in it, you're like, it's not funny, like, come on, give me my money. But, you know, I mean, just saying, but Turkey, Russia was the top paying country in league, and I always kind of give this example that, you know, BG around here makes probably around $200,000, but used to go over to Russia and make around, you know, $1.5 million. And so it's money that you don't pass up, especially when you only have so long to play. And no one's going to Russia anymore, so other markets around the world are going up a little bit, but Turkey's one of them that always pays. But everyone that goes to Turkey knows that you're not going to get your money. And so it's kind of a running joke that when you go over there, you better get all your lawyers lined up, because right when you leave to come back to the W season, those lawyers are going to have to go fight the Turkey law in Turkey country to, you know, get your money. And so that's the thing, is if you go to a beautiful place like Greece or like Australia, Sweden, Germany, you're not going to get paid the money you deserve to. But if you go to these other countries that are willing to pay you, you know, the boo-hoo bucks, then, yeah, you better get your lawyers lined up, because you're going to have to take them to court to get that money.
How hard is it to find a good Turkish lawyer?
You know, I've stayed away from Turkey. I'm not going overseas this year. I'm doing some NBA TV. You know, I'm going to make sure I 100% get my money. and so I'm not even dealing with that. You know, if someone offers me money that I can't pass up, then I'll think about it, and I'll make sure that you guys give me a shout out on here to give me all the lawyers. But right now I'm good.
So, I mean, in all seriousness, and you mentioned BG, Brittany Griner, she was your teammate, and you know, she goes to Russia. And that's why $1.5 million. But you know, you said you're staying, and you're you know, looking into broadcasting and taking that opportunity. But has that made you and maybe some others more hesitant to go overseas right now based on what's happened? And you told us a little bit about that yesterday. I mean, that was one of your best friends on the team. So that's been a very difficult situation for everyone involved.
100%. And I think you see a lot of WNBA players not going overseas this year just because that, you know, they don't want to play in leagues or countries that aren't supportive of our sister, which is BG. And I understand that. I see both sides of everyone's opinions on this matter. But, you know, I was telling you guys yesterday that at the end of the day, if there was a loved one that you had in her situation and her living environment and things she has to go through on a daily, you would want no one in that situation. And so it was hard. It still is, because she's still not home. But it was a tough season, you know, just emotionally and mentally without BG there. She is one of my best friends, and we miss her like crazy. You know, we're hoping to get her home soon. But, you know, it is Russia, and you just never know what they're going to throw at us next in order to get her. And so she's still heavy on our hearts. But, yeah, you see a lot of players not going overseas just because of her situation.
Nate?
Man, what were those conversations like with her when you were able to actually communicate with her?
Yeah. I think a lot of people didn't know that we were still able to email back and forth. You know, everyone who had a certain email address were able to send her letters, and she was able to write back to us, which was absolutely amazing, because you got to make sure she was okay. You know, she still had her humor. You know, as time went on, you could tell that her mental and just her living conditions were really starting to get to her. So we made sure to write even more just to, you know, distract her from her situation. But our team also, the Phoenix Mercury, did a great job of kind of letting us know what's happening before everything hits the media. And so we kind of knew everything before, you know, the general public did. But this last move that they moved her to, nobody knew about. And so that kind of scares everyone, because it's, you know, Russia is pushing just as hard, and they're starting not to tell us things. And so It sucks because now we can't email her. We can't. We don't even know where she's at this point. And so, which is hard, which is rough. I mean, everyone says, you know, if that was Tom Brady or LeBron James, that we would have had him home by now. But honestly, I don't know if that's true because they're worth way more money and they have a lot more power than BG does. But at the end of the day, she's an Olympian. She's represented our country very well. Everyone who knows her absolutely loves BG. I think she gets a really bad rap. And so it's time for her to, you know, be back on U.S. soil.
Sophie Cunningham is our guest. Well, heavy stuff there, but we appreciate you being open about that. And before we run out of time, I did want to mention, I mean, you've called you a rising star in the WNBA. You average almost 13 points a game. You've increased your point output every year you've been in the league. And you just said yesterday to us you're basically a free agent. So are you going to be back in Phoenix? What's that process like? When will you know your future in the WNBA?
Well, I hope my GM is listening out in Phoenix that, yes, sign me back.
But rising star.
No, I think most likely I'll be back out in Phoenix. But, you know, I did get some great opportunities this year, and I got to kind of show what I can do. And like you said, I've gotten better every single year. I'm never satisfied. I've had a lot of great players on my team, and so they're starting to move to other teams. I'm starting to get more opportunity. But at the end of the day, I want to get paid too. So I wish Kansas City had a team. I think that would be absolutely perfect. So I think I know who the owners are of, that soccer team. And so hopefully they're listening too, and they can kind of bring a WNBA team here to Phoenix or to Kansas City.
Chris and Angie Long are the big basketball family. I know Chris was a D1 baller himself, and their daughter's big into basketball. So maybe we make
these
this
connections.
Happen. Let's go.
The GM will be Jarrett Sutton.
Yep.
Sophie Cunningham. That's a guy. His hair has not been messed up since he was at Mizzou. So he could be the GM.
Oh,
this guy's always. Hey, we love him too. Yeah. But you know, it's very difficult. This guy walks in. He's the most handsome man in the world, and we're going to start a basketball podcast, and you're going to be one of the first guests, all right? So we got to have you on that as well.
Jarrett is tall, well-dressed, well-spoken, and handsome, and Stephen and I are none of the above, so it's just kind of intimidating, you know? That's
okay,
all right.
Hey, so Sophie
looks better than me 24/7, too, so I understand.
Hey, Sophie, before we let you go, tell us again, if, you know, people want to come out and watch the games, and I'm looking at some of the teams. There's a lot of Kansas City teams that are involved, Lincoln College Prep, Blue Valley North, Bishop Miege is going to be out there, Blue Valley North, Blue Springs South. So there's a lot of Kansas City teams that are going to be out there competing in the Sophie Cunningham Classic. So tell us again why it's so important and if people want to come out there and support and watch these games.
Yep, it's, you know, December 2nd through the 4th, so this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And like I said, if there's someone who is ranked in this area, they're going to be at this tournament. And it's important because when I was in high school, we had such a great community and crowd at every single game, and I think it's going to be awesome for these teams, you know, to come experience that Missouri way of supporting women's sports. And it's going to be a great tournament. It's going to be a competitive one. And so we're just super excited. So you can come out. You can check out our social media platforms. You can buy tickets online or tickets at the door. And come say what's up to me. You know, I'm going to be there, too. I'm excited to interact with you know, the teams with the crowd. And so I think it's going to be a really special event. And moving forward, it's going to be one that you don't want to miss out on. So come to the first annual one. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I tell you what, hopefully they want to miss Selena and Julia St. John wanted me to tell you that hopefully they're going to be playing in that in a few years. So we'll look forward to that.
Hey, love that. Sophie,
thanks so much for the time. We appreciate you. And you know what? I know you're broadcast. What's your next for your broadcasting career? You've got something scheduled coming up?
Yeah. You know, in December, December 10th, I'm starting, NBA TV with the Suns out in Phoenix. And so I'll be doing the in-studio type broadcasting. So I'll be doing the pregame, halftime, and postgame interviews and shows. So I'm super stoked about it. Hopefully I'm as good as you guys, and hopefully it all turns out well for me.
Well, hopefully you'll come on and be a basketball insider with us. We'd love to have you and help you anyway in your broadcasting careers. Thank you so much for the time, Sophie.
My pleasure. You guys have a great day.
That's awesome. That's Sophie Cunningham. That's pretty cool, Nate, huh?
Awesome conversation. I like her.
Marco, you just leave me alone. Marco's been yelling at me, and I'm mad. I'm going to take a break. It's my birthday. Don't yell at me, Marco. Thank you to Sophie Cunningham. Back after this on WHB. Come on. Thank you to all of our guests today. Man, who do we talk to? Matt Beasler and Matt Derrick and Gary Lezak and Gary Barnett and Mike DePasquale and Joe Valerio and Sophie Cunningham. That was awesome. My girls love her. She's great. That's
good birthday show.
Yeah, real good. Too bad I couldn't be there, but, you know, old Marco Marquez got me.
I don't think it's fair to dump this all at his feet.
No, it's okay. Let him dump it all. Dump on me. Take your birthday and dump on me. I'm
blame his dad.
Yep, started there.
What, you think he'd dump on you?
Wow. It's a weird
offer.
I'm going
to go, you know, I'll get... Look, I don't want to get you sick either, Nate.
Right.
You want me to get you sick?
No, sir. I do not.
Blah.
I got to be healthy and ready to go for Saturday morning. You know, I can't can't be getting under the weather.
Mm-hmm. Well, good show. Thank you. I'm 50, and I'm not feeling nifty on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.